2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 10. And in this section, as I mentioned before, Paul is dealing with, he's revisiting the issue of the Corinthian church have taken up the offering to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so he begins to focus on this again. So it's a continuation of what we saw in chapter 8. And so once again, for a foundational thought or background, if you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says in the first several verses there, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So your first day of the week, lay by in store, and this is when Paul and others would come by. So this must be the local church. Meeting on Sunday, first day of the week. So here's a good verse that we use, Seventh-day Adventists and Seventh-day Baptists, for that matter, that want to worship on the seventh day and the Sabbath Baptists and whatever. It's the first day of the week is Sunday. First day of the week commemorates the resurrection of the Lord. So we focus every Sunday on His resurrection. Every Sunday, we might say, Resurrection Sunday. The Sunday commemorates His resurrection. All right. So anyway, there is the laying by in store. So this is the gifts. This is not the tithes. This is the gifts. Now, tithes would obviously go along with this, but this has to do with the gift of taking to the Jerusalem church. Now, we saw last time how Paul indicated that he wanted to take this gift, and he's going to have several other people come with him. He mentioned he was going to have Titus come. That's in 8:16. Titus was going to help him take the gift. And then he mentioned two other brothers, verse 18, and then verse 22, another brother. So at least three of them, along with Paul, was going to take the gift, and there may have been others as well, to the Jerusalem church. Now this is all enacted in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 21. He goes to Jerusalem. He takes the gift there. This is when he's captured, and then he ends up in the Roman prison two years later, by the time we get to the end of Acts chapter 28. But this is Paul's desire. He wanted to give to the poor saints there in Jerusalem. He, in part, made them poor. Now he wanted to undo that sin, and so he wanted to give. He wanted Gentiles, these Gentile churches that he started, to contribute towards helping the Jews. And so here we see the Lord's grace is at work here. Why would a Gentile ever want to give to a Jew? Why would a Jew ever want to accept anything from a Gentile? But here's where the Lord's grace is at work, when people with these distinctions can work together. So this is what he's concerned with. Now, we've talked about tithing. So tithing is a biblical principle. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are built, these chapters are built on the principle of tithing, but this has to do with gifts. So tithes and gifts, or tithes and offerings. To lay the foundation, and I say this because there are some who say tithing is not for this dispensation, and even pastors say this and so on. But the Bible is very clear. Tithing is a giving principle for all believers in all dispensations. And so we see that Abraham gave tithes. So let's look at this back there in Genesis 14. I mentioned Melchizedek today in the morning message show. So here's the one reference to Melchizedek in Genesis. This is in Genesis chapter 14. And Melchizedek was a part of the Melchizedekian order, which is an eternal order, and this is the priestly order of which Christ is high priest. But nevertheless, Melchizedek in 1418 fell Salem there. And then notice verse 20. And here Abraham blessed, he said, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he, that's Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Tithe means 10%. So he gave tithes of all. So we have this. Now let's look at another passage that I want to make a comment here. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We have Jacob. Jacob meets with Bethel. Now Bethel is named House of God. Jacob names it House of God. Genesis chapter 28. Here's where he dreams and he sees the ladder ascending and descending with angels and so on. And he calls it the House of God. And there he vowed to the Lord in verse 20. Vowed a vow. And then by the time we get to verse 22, he says, "And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So here, Jacob, as another individual in the Old Testament, long before law, gave a tithe of all. Again, tithe. And Abraham gave a tithe of all. Now, tithe of all means you start with the total amount of income and you tithe off of that, not what's left over after taxes and rent and car payment and insurance and food. Oh yeah, this is why I got a leftover tithe on. All over all. That's what the Bible teaches there. And so, now keep in mind here, who has given you the means to have income? Who's given you that means? And who owns all of your income? The Lord does. But he wants you to give him of his income 10%, and of his income he's going to allow you 90%. And he says, "Prove me. I'll take care of you." But he says. So that's the Lord's promise. 28, Genesis chapter 28. Verse 27, alright? Jacob. So Jacob gave a tithe. And then we have tithing in the law. And then in Malachi, the last message that the Lord has to the Jews, last written message is in Malachi chapter 3. And there he asked the question, "Will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." But, you know, robbing God. I remember when we first got started here, we had three picnic tables sitting out there in the dirt or ground over here. We had three picnic tables there, and after a while, two of them disappeared. Like they were long loaded up, two picnic tables we had sitting out there. And so, anyway, we called the police, said, you know, somebody's robbed or taken, you know, picnic tables, so on. I mean, there are $100 picnic tables we got down here at Lowe's, I think, but you know, somebody stole from us. We didn't have them locked down, but all right, so, but anyway, I remember the policeman here, police officer here, he said, "Well, you know, it's really bad when somebody robs from the big man upstairs." Like, but, that is bad. But it's even worse when believers rob the Lord by not giving their tithe. Alright? And so, now he says, the Lord says here in verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." So this is the proving of the Lord. You're proving him. Will he be faithful in taking care of you when you are allowed to use 90% of what he's given you, but you give 10% of his back to him? Will he be faithful to you or not? Can we possibly trust God with our finances? That's what he says, prove me. And so this is the principle that we have here. Now here again, this means any income. So we all have to live off of something. So how are we living? How do we pay our bills? How do we get food? How do we get money? How do we pay the rent, the mortgage? How do we do that? We've got income coming in, right? Somehow. It comes from some source. So maybe it's employment. You may get money in from gifts. You may get money, may get a windfall. You may, maybe you get social benefits. Maybe you get an EBT card. Or maybe you get WIC, or maybe you're on, maybe you receive money from savings retirement you haven't tithed on. Or maybe you're on a fixed income. But whatever source of income you get, the Lord has allowed you to have that income, but He wants you to tithe on. He wants you to tithe on. And He's proving me. Prove me, He says. So those that don't do that are robbing God. So that's what Scripture says here. Now, what this these two chapters are based on is over and above that. So keep in mind now, you can't outgive the Lord. He's the one who's in control of this. And I can remember in times past when we tried to tithe, honored the Lord to tithe and so on. And I remember one time when I needed some gas money. And, you know, didn't have any gas, hardly had any gas, and wanted some gas money. And I was somewhere, and I looked on the ground, and there's a $10 bill. Back in those days, $10 would fill up your car. A few years ago, but $10 bill, I'd be able to get it. You know, I mean, where did that come from? I had to check to see if that had angel wings on it. You know, a small amount, but you know, Lord sent that in. And many other occasions like this. I remember one time somebody wrote me and sent a check and said that, you know, I owe you this money for something. I couldn't even remember what they owed me for money for, but it came right at the right time. Another time I had a bill collector said, I'm taking too much money from you, here's a refund. Well, that's the kind you like to receive, but the timing element is what is significant here, right at the time that you need it. So, but the Lord will take care of you, and He'll help you there. And even if you're on a fixed income, you can challenge Him, you know, approve Him in these areas. But this is the Lord's plan. And when you do this, and you're looking at your finances now. This is where reality is, your finances. Right? This is where reality is, your finances. This is reality. So when you're looking at the reality of your finances, say there is no way humanly possible I can give my tithe or Lord's tithe and still pay everything. But He wants you to prove Him. And when you do prove Him, and then by the time things roll around and you say, you know what? This works. See, that settles some things in your heart. I've proved the Lord and He's come through and He's helped me. It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith. Amen. So that's what He wants. All right, now, concerning this passage, we'll look at the first 10 verses. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Now, in the full passage, the full chapter here, I've divided this around the preparation, verses 1 through 5, the principle involved here, and then the prosperity. So principle would be verses 6 through 10, and then the prosperity that the Lord gives, and 12 through, rather, 11 through 15. First of all, we want to look at the preparation that's involved here. So, keeping in mind, Paul has already written to the Corinthians about giving to the Jerusalem church. Here he says, in verses 1 and 2, he talks about their past fervency. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous of for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So he's says, I really don't need to write to you about this, because you've demonstrated yourself. You've demonstrated yourself here, and your fervency that you've had here about this. And here he mentioned verse 3, says, I know the forwardness of your mind. So they were committed to this. So he says, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia. Now Macedonia was up north of Achaia. Look on your map. Macedonia is where the Thessalonian church was, for instance. Remember, he was called the Macedonian. And the Philippi church and so on. And so they have a testimony in these churches. Now, Achaia is where Corinth was. So Corinth is on your map south of Macedonia. This is divisions there, provinces in Greece. And so he could tell other churches, I know the Corinthian church now is going to come through and help out here because I know them. I was with them for 18 months. I started the church, they're believers. They're following through. He can be encouraged as well. They followed through on my letter about church discipline. So I believe this church is obedient and is going to help out here on this gift. And I can boast in the Lord. That's the idea. He's boasting in the Lord of what this church could do. And so he knew about them. And he knew their zeal. He knew their zeal. Now, that was about a year ago. About a year ago, and they were ready to give. He said, you make sure when I come by on the first day of the week, you make sure you have this laid in store. So they had this past fervency of collecting an offering and so on. But now we move into verses 3 through 5, and we see a present fulfillment. In other words, they need to fulfill this. They need to fulfill this as they were preparing for this. Verse 3 says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Now, as he's writing the letter, he says, I've sent. So this is from the point of view of the recipient once the letter gets there. He really hasn't sent them yet, but he puts this in past tense. I've sent them, so when they get the letter, they know, oh, he's sent now these men to come by. And so he says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting on you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. So he wanted them to continue taking the offering, that they would be ready and so on. Now think of this, Paul is basing all this upon their preparation. Now, they were to be prepared for these men when they come by, and on their way to Jerusalem to get the gift. They were to be prepared. And this is a good practical point that we need to bring out here as well, and that is we need to be prepared as we think in terms of Sunday service and roll around. We need to be prepared. One way, certainly in the area of finances, would be for church starts we've already thought about, all right? Now, if you give weekly, my income is thus and so. So I don't have to, right at the last minute when the plate's going around, figure out what's my tithe on this. Be prepared. Think in advance. In other words, somewhere during the week, as we're thinking towards the Sunday. Sunday's coming, it's approaching. Let me think through this now. If you give weekly or monthly or however you give. Give weekly, what's my income, or what I suspect it'll be, or whatever, how it works out. And then you prepare yourself so that when Sunday rolls around, you're ready. You're ready with this. I mean, this is what he's talking about. This is the very practicality of this. So that, you're focused on this. So I try to do that. I'm saying this as an example. I try to write my giving check out prior to Sunday, so when Sunday rolls around, I'm just ready to put it in there. I've got it ready. I've prepared myself. And it's not just writing a check as well, I'll be preparing your heart and thanking the Lord for what He's given you. And so, if you get paid weekly or bi-weekly or whatever, figure out, all right, now here's my income for this week. However you get it. So, right at the top, whatever your income is, right at the top, 10%. Move the decimal. Don't move the wrong way. You're giving more than you have, but move the decimal the right way, so that's 10%. Then the government comes along, they take out a chunk, and other types of things, perhaps, and that's what you're left with. But the Lord has said, prove me, and I'll help you with whatever you're left with if you put me first. Now, if you say, no, I can spend that a lot better, and I'm wiser than the Lord, and I think what I can do with this, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Now, you want to be blessed economically, right? This is reality. Economics is reality. And this is where people are most challenged and affected is with money. That's Satan's last stronghold over us is finance. That's why Revelation 18 comes right before, right after 17, and right before 19. Revelation 18 deals with the commercial Babylonianism, economic Babylonianism. That'll be the last stronghold that goes that Satan has over mankind is economics. The love of what is the root of all evil?
Money.
The love of money. So this is where the Lord catches our attention, finances. So we need to prove Him with our finances. And so this is what Paul is saying here. But he's saying, you've had a past fervency. You keep your fervency up and fulfill it now. Another good point here. If you've started tithing, don't wane. Don't let it drop off. Don't say, it doesn't seem to be working, or, you know, I'm not sure if the Lord really knows what I'm doing here. I'll just not give it. You know, you want to be blessed, right? This is how He blesses you. And in fact, remember what Malachi says there. Now, we're going to focus on these things. If you say, boy, I'd be glad when these two chapters are over with, well, maybe the problem's not me. I mean, I didn't write the book, right? I didn't write chapters 8 and 9. But he says in verse Malachi 3:11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So the Lord sends a devourer out there, one who devours. So you try to use His money, and you don't use it right, the devourer comes, and He takes it. I think from a biblical point of view, we could say this, you won't be able to use the Lord's tithe. Don't try it. You won't be able to. Don't try it. I said, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, he'll take that, and I think he takes interest as well. he'll hold back to the borrower. That doesn't mean even if you're tithing, you won't have challenges. Oh, everybody has challenges all the time. Christians unsaved have challenges. People who tithe have challenges. People who don't tithe have challenges. But you know, at least you know you're right in the Lord, and in the big picture here, He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Just prove me. So anyway, there's the preparation. They had a past fervency, but now they need to fulfill this. He goes on and says in verse 14, let happily, now it's not happy, but happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. So in other words, Paul's saying, I am boasting in the Lord, Corinthian church, you are going to be faithful. Now, when we come by here and you haven't given, you haven't taken care of this, we're going to be ashamed because we said you would do this. All right. Verse 5, he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So he's indicating that they're going to come by, and so they need to be ready, and they need to come and gather the gift and not allow the gift here to become a matter of covetousness. Whenever you got money around, you have money sitting around going, all of a sudden it's easy to get covetous on this. And so they need to be, the brethren need to come by. And so everybody needs to fulfill their position here. The church needs to fulfill their position of taking up the gift. The brethren need to come by as soon as possible and take this up so it doesn't become a matter of covetousness. And so he talks about their preparation. So preparation is important here, especially in giving. And secondly, we notice the principle that's involved in 6 through 10. The principle in 6 through 10. Now, Paul brings out a slew of Old Testament passages upon which he's building this. But he says there in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And so here is the principle, reaping, or sowing and reaping. So in this area, if you sow much, you'll reap much. And this is true in any aspect of life. But in this case, it has to do with finances. You give greatly to the Lord, you'll be blessed back by the Lord as well. Mm-hmm. Now remember, this is over and beyond the tithe. I'm talking about the tithe now. I'm talking about the giving beyond the tithe. And so, sowing and reaping. And let's look back there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here the Lord is talking about being gracious in all areas of life. But Luke 6, 38, he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." So he has a picture of a big bushel basket, let's say, full of grain and so on. And so the idea is put the full weight of the grain in there, and then press it down. And once you press it down, then put more in, and then there'll be some running over, you see. And so, don't be stingy, but give as much as you can, he's saying. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. So, in ancient measures there, a person could put grain in a container here and not shake it, because if you shake it, it would what? It would shrink down a little bit here. But that's what he's saying. You shake it, you press it down, and you put more on it, and then you let it be overflowing. And so now the Lord has to enjoin believers here. Give. Now he's saying that, I want you to give so that you'll be blessed. Well, he's the one who wrote this. You give, and you'll be blessed. More you give, more you'll be blessed. And this is for the benefit of the individual here. So he has to make a command. He says, prove me. He says, give. He's challenging the believer in these areas. Now, so we see the principle involved here. We go back to the Proverbs, for instance, chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, Solomon wrote this. And Solomon knew about wealth. Proverbs chapter 11. Several verses seem to be built off of. Let's notice in verse 18, "There the wicked work of deceitful work, but him that soweth righteous shall be a sure reward." So in this case, sowing righteousness, he states there. Verse 24, "And there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it endeth to poverty." So here is the idea of scattering and increasing, or holding and poverty. So there's the principle. So Paul's building off these principles here. Notice in verse 28, "He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." So here is trusting in riches. So the Lord wants us to trust in Him and not in riches. And we need to get to this place where we can He can trust us with the riches that He gives us. And if He can trust us with what we have, then He can trust us with more. The Lord raises up pastors who have been faithful with the riches so that He can entrust the pastors to oversee much more riches of the churches. And so If somebody's has a desire to be a pastor, they better be faithful with the riches they have so Lord can entrust them with greater riches later on. All right. So anyway, here we see the principles that are laid out here. That's verse 6. He says in verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, but for God loveth the cheerful giver. And so here, this is not dealing with tithing. Tithing is a percentage. This is as every man purpose in his heart. So it's a heart issue. How much do I want to give? How much can I give? What's the Lord impressing upon my heart? What can I do? And the going along with the principle here, he says that not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So basically, your giving shouldn't be that which causes you to be mad or to be sad, but to be glad. So not mad, sad, or glad. No, I mean, your giving makes you glad. And you can give to the Lord. It's often pointed out here, cheerful giver translates the word from which we get hilarious. And so it does have to do with cheerfulness. That I can give to the Lord. He's done so much for me, I can give back to Him. This is an offering, not in tithe, an offering. So I give back to the Lord. Now, it's voluntary, so whatever you desire to give. Whatever you feel led to give, whatever you can give. You give out what you do have. Don't give out what you don't have. But this is something you can cut back on. In other words, maybe there's some things over here that you're enjoying that are not necessities. And you say, you know what, I can cut back on this and I can give a little more to the Lord and demonstrate my love. That would indicate I don't love these as much as I love the Lord. So maybe little things, but whatever it is. This is where the Lord is proving you. He's challenging your heart. And He wants to see you blessed. Notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. So God is able to give grace in this area. And just ask Him here that, okay, Lord, I'm challenged by the Scripture. I'm going to give a little bit more. Give me grace to do this. And then I'll find out I do have sufficiency for the things I want. And I can abound in every good work. And so, here He wants this grace to abound towards you. The grace of giving. See, the grace of giving. And it can be abounding. It's jumping forth, as it were. So the Lord wants the believer and as enables the believer to be able to give and to be give abundantly. Now, here again, Paul has to deal with the Corinthian church that's not self-serving. This is not for the benefit of Paul. It's for the benefit of the church members, that they may grow and become stronger and be blessed and so on. And he's made that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 as well, that giving does go towards the church and supports the material, supports the spiritual needs that are met there. But this has to do with someone else. Paul's not going to benefit from anything given to the Jerusalem church. So you see, this is not the pastoral benefit here that you give and I gain a great deal. That's not the idea at all. Now, we go on here, verses 9 and 10. He says, For as it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, here he's citing Psalm 112, verse 9. Let's look there. Psalm 112, verse 9. So what Paul's doing here is saying, this is not some new teaching I've come up with. This has been in the law, the Psalms here, for centuries. So Psalm 112, verse 9. There, 112, verse 9. He that dispersed, He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And so You're dispersing, giving to others, even giving the poor, giving to poor. That's what he's talking about, giving to the poor church there in Jerusalem. And so the Lord blesses. Now there is a way to deal with the poor in society, or the poor within Christian groups and so on. There's a way to do this, and it does come from the heart and so on. But it's a voluntary, and it's not mandated, and it's not necessarily even regular, but there is giving to the poor to help them from time to time. But not the place where the poor always are depending upon a handout.
Right.
We need to get past the position in a life that I need the handout. I'm a victim of society. I need a handout. Now get to the place where you have personal responsibility, where you can be a blessing to others rather than always depending on others being giving you something in life. See, what can you give to others? Not what do you expect from others to give to you. All right, then finally in verse 10, he says, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So here, he that ministers seed to the sower, doth minister bread for your food. So seed goes into food, so on. But who does this? Who is this? Well, here he's citing Isaiah 55:10. Isaiah 55:10. So Isaiah 55:10. We have an element of this verse found in Isaiah 55:10, where Scripture says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." All right, so who only gives you bread? The Lord does. How does he do it? The rain comes down to seed. Seed grows, grain comes out of this, bread is made. So who's only behind all of your physical wherewithal? Who's the one who got you that job? Who's the one that found employment for you? Who's the one that's allowed somebody to give you something? Who's behind all that? The Lord. He's the one behind that.
Amen.
And so Paul is bringing this out. Have we eaten a meal today? Where did this all come from? Well, it came from the Lord. Do you eat regularly at home and so on? You have income coming in. Who's behind all this? So he's the one who gets you the job. He's the one who pumps on somebody to give something to you, or this or that, or however it works out. He's the one who's orchestrating it all for your benefit. So if we can accept that, then why can't we say, all right, I'm going to give back to him. First of all, the tithe is his. And then secondly, beyond that, we'll give back to him because he's the one who's given to me. And this is how he takes care of mankind. Now, we see his graciousness towards even the unsaved. But we ought to feel compelled to want to give back to the Lord. So he's the one in control of all these things. And Paul is laying this out. So he's saying, Corinthian church, you want to be blessed? Now we take care of your tithes. On the first day of the week, you set aside money. So when we come by, we take it to the Jerusalem church, and we'll be a blessing to that Jerusalem church. And now you can be a blessing to others as well. You can from time to time, you'd want to maybe give a secret gift to somebody. You can be a blessing to people. And don't tell anybody. Just you and the Lord. Sometimes this happens and so on. Or you can be involved in something that we're trying to do here. Now, I think for the Christian, all giving should be through the vehicle of the local church. So you've got to be involved in obviously giving and so on and so forth. But the Lord wants our hearts. So the whole issue here is our heart. What's our heart attitude towards this? If our heart is in harmony with the Lord, then we want to give back to the Lord, demonstrate our love to the Lord. That's what he wants.
Amen.
And he'll bless us when we do that. All right.
Amen.
We'll conclude here with prayer.
Amen.
Father, we praise you for this time. We pray that you bless each one in our church. Help us all to come to a realization of the important teaching and doctrine here, and put this to practice in something that's very important to our lives, of course, important to you as well. We pray that you'll help us be a giving church, that we'll be able to minister to others and be a blessing. Pray that you'll use us for thy glory now, bless in the remainder of the service now, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.